Well, when it comes to our book study, I think it's important to remember that people learn in different ways. For some of you, I could have just given you the book, and on your own, diligently, you would have gone home and you would have read it, and you would have processed the information. Maybe. For others, you like sitting in the group setting and reading it out loud and kind of working through it with your buddies and stuff like that. For others, you're like, I don't want to work with anybody. I just want to do it on my own. And so what we've tried to do is have a couple of different ways we present somewhat of the same content, all right? Chapter 1 is very big. It's very long. And so we cut it in two. And I'm going to cover right now, it's not really a lesson. It's more of a devotional. It's the reflect questions that were at the very end. And I know some of you met for an incredibly long time tonight. The rest of you, maybe not so much. But at the end, there were three reflect questions. And so the first one, it tells you to read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So we now are going to open our Bible, and you're going to read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And when you're done doing that, signal somehow, look at me, pick someone's nose, you know, something along those lines. On your own, see what you can do. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Very good. See lots of nose picking, so I think you're ready. How many of you, this is the first time you've ever seen these two verses in your life? It isn't. Pretty common, right? Hopefully you have these verses memorized. But the questions that the book asks in the reflect part is to think through each one of these elements and ask yourself, in what ways have others used the Bible to do the following in your life? So let's just take the word teaching. And you can write it on your piece of paper. You can write it in your mind. I want you to think, in what ways have others taught the Bible to you? You can write and think, particular people, ways, paths. Do a good job. It's Caleb's birthday. All right, so then I'm going to ask that question, you're going to answer, all right? Who and how have people used the Bible to teach you, to instruct you, to guide you? Ready? Someone, go. Okay, your small group leaders. So they read the word themselves, they take that word, and they teach it to you. And I hope that you appreciate what the small group leaders have done, all right? Imagine if they were trying to guide you with their own wisdom. I know they're pretty smart people, but it's not the same as taking God's word and teaching it to you, okay? Samuel, yes, all right? I have been able to teach you, and you have lots of other teachers that have stood up here in youth group and taught you, all right? Who or what else or how? Yes. Your parents, yeah. Your parents taking the word and parting into your life. Samuel. Partners. Yeah, the partners, one-on-one. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah, he took yours, yeah. All right, Hudson? Biblical books. Okay, biblical books, reiterate and teach those truths. Good, all right? So we're all pro teaching the word of God, and you can see the impact it's had on your life. Good. What about reproof? All right, contemplate and think through the word reproof. The word reproof is to express strong disapproval. How has people used the word to express strong disapproval of your actions in order to help you? I think we've all seen the petulant child in the grocery line crying and laying on the floor because he didn't get his popsicle or his treat or whatever, and you're like, would you like to borrow my belt? Are you going to do something about it? All right. The word of God, he uses to correct us and to train us. All right. You don't have to get into specifics, but who has done that sort of thing in your life?
Friends.
Yeah, friends. All right. It's really tough. All right. We love our friends, right? And it's hard to point out when others are in sin, isn't it? But if we can go to scripture and verse and say, are you living out this verse right now? Ooh. All right. That's good. What other ways or how? Isaiah? Okay. Seeing other people's pride and then pointing out your pride. All right. Good. Anyone else? Yeah, your parents. It's a lot easier to take it when it's actual scripture. That's another reason why we need to know the word so that we can go to scripture and verse. I think the Bible says, man, somewhere it says something about doing that one thing. Oh, really? That's so helpful. No, to be able to read it to them and to share it with them, all right? What about correction? And you're like, well, isn't that the same thing? Correction is improvement. It can be a positive thing, all right? Let's say that you throw a ball like that. And they're like, that's not how a normal human throws a ball. So you should throw a ball like this. They're correcting. That's a good thing. It's a teaching. It's a training. All right? Probably some of the same similar answers. Your parents, your small group leaders, your pastors. How have people used the Bible to train you in righteousness? Righteousness, obviously, is doing the right thing. How have people use the Bible to train you in it? Eliana?
Having us memorize verses from sword drills.
Yeah. From sword drills on, memorizing those things, treasuring it, hiding it in our heart so that we know what the Bible says and we know how to react. And when we're tempted, we can quote those verses and it helps focus and set our mind on things above. Senior Jessup. Yeah, and that's a training in righteousness. Here's a life situation. Here is the verse that will help guide you and teach you and train you. Is that what you're going to say? See, he stole it. You shouldn't steal. There's a verse about that. Any other ways? Catherine? Yeah, accountability. Yeah. So we're all pro-teaching. We're pro-reproof, right? We're pro-correction. We're pro-training in righteousness. Okay. I hope that you reflect on and are thankful for those people that are in your life. You know, I can think of specific people throughout my walk, people that I don't even interact with now because they live in other states, people that loved me enough to teach me the word, to correct me with the word. And, you know, sometimes I listen and I apply. You know, there's sometimes I didn't listen. But I hope that you're thankful for the people that puts in your life that use the word to help you in these areas. But the other part of this question, how can you utilize the Bible to do the same in the life of others? Right? Do you really believe this? That all scripture is inspired by God? It is God-breathed. This is God's very word. And God's very word is profitable for training, for reproof, for correction, for teaching. How are you, sounds cheesy, paying it forward in a sense? When it comes to personal Bible study, it's important because it helps our walk with the Lord, right? But it's not just a selfish thing like that. I read it, I know it, I understand it, I live it, so then I can do what? I can help other people. Remember the model of Ezra the priest, Ezra 7:10. He set his heart to study the law, to live it, and to teach it. Who has God put in your life to teach? Their siblings, Samuel? Yeah, your friends? Yeah, neighbors, all right? Hopefully you take that opportunity. Yeah, there's a lot of kids you get to serve in Awana, right? But are you just there to hang out? Are you just there to enjoy your friends? You know, even when you guys are serving in VBS, think through. It means a lot, okay? It means a lot coming from you talking to the generations that are just a few years younger than you. If you're going to do that, right? If you're going to do these things with your friends and other people. And so people have poured into you using the Word of God. So you need to make sure that you study the Word and you know the Word so you can go out and you can start doing those things as well, all right? We want to hold you to a high standard. What we do here isn't just childcare where we come and hang out. We want to teach you the Word. We want to teach you how to read the Word so that you can then make an impact for the kingdom. The second reflection that we get is from 1 Corinthians 2. So go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And you're going to read verses 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. And the question I'm going to ask you is, how are we as Christians able to know spiritual truth? Ready? Go. So here's our question. How are Christians able to know spiritual truth? Mr. Sears? Through the Holy Spirit, okay? So the words on these pages, we know that the authors had an original intent when they wrote it, right? They have a theme and they have a purpose that they are communicating. We can learn what it is and we can know what it is because of the Holy Spirit. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus and he washes us and renews us and makes us a new creation, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he indwells us and he illuminates the scriptures to us so that we can understand them. Right now, sometimes it takes diligent work and study, but we have a comprehension of God because we have the Spirit of God. Keeping that in mind, when we interact with unbelievers, what do we need to remember? Caden? They don't have the Holy Spirit, so they don't what? They don't understand the Bible. Okay? They don't understand the Bible. Does that mean that we don't use the Bible when sharing with them? No, we do. Knowing that God can use the Word to change and to save, right? But we just have to, have you ever wondered, why does that person do that? Why do they think like that? Who would ever vote like that? This is crazy. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the Bible because we wouldn't understand the Bible if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be here tonight and you're not a believer, all right? You can understand parts and aspects of the Word, but you can't really truly understand the word until you place your faith in Christ. Jesus says in John 14, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. I will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I said to you. And that's how we got the Bible. And now the Holy Spirit is still doing that work to illuminate God's word to us. So, when we go to Bible study, what would be a good thing to pray? Owen? Yeah. You've seen the psalmist, right? Oh God, open up my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law. So going into your study, saying, God, help me to understand the truth that you have for me to learn. Then obviously thanking him. Let's look at the third reflection. The third reflection, go to Psalm 19. And I think that you answered this question already when it comes to the benefits of God's word. But I'll let you just follow along as I read this one out loud. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. Would any of you have a counter argument to those truths? You claim that the Bible is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. You admit that it's the Holy Spirit that opens your eyes and illuminates it to you. And then you also say that I know that there are great benefits to reading God's word. So now you know where I'm going. Did you read today? Did you read yesterday? I mean, I know some of you read last week, Monday through Friday, because you had to. You're on camp. But when you got back, when I put together the two-year plan, I hesitated to start with Genesis and then switch to Job. Because when you get to Job's friends, hold on. It's a little rough sledding for a bit. Some of you don't even know why in the world we switched to Job. If you actually read the content of the outline, it tells you the events of Job happen sometimes after Genesis 11. So in the Old Testament, we're trying to go chronologically. And some of you looked at it and said, look, I get the story of Job. I give up. Or are you kidding me? This man has me reading four chapters today? Did he hate me? For some of you, I just want you to read. Okay? If you've missed every single day up to this point, start anew on today. Start what will be the most successful. Okay? For others, I really want to challenge you. All right? I want to challenge you. If you've missed, I want you to go back. Because you've already been reading, you've already been growing. I want you to get the full scope of what we're doing. Right? But whether you have been keeping up with the plan or not keeping up with the plan, or whether you have a different plan,
What are you going to do starting today? When you wake up tomorrow, what are you going to do? Are you going to care to read? I mean, we know it's profitable. We see all of the wonderful benefits. And you could look at Job and be like, man, it's kind of hard to understand Job. Well, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? Because there's a lot you can learn from Job. There's a lot you can learn from Genesis. So when we come together on Wednesday, all right, for those of you that are guests, this is not a normal Wednesday, but this is what we're doing in the summer. I hope that you're excited. I hope you want to go to your group. I hope you have good discussion time. But guys, you got to be reading on your own. You got to be reading on your own. And I hope that this is a good foundation and a motivation to do so consistently. Let's pray. Lord God, you are so kind and so patient with us. We are undeserving of your love and of your grace, yet you freely give it. And Lord, you saved us. You have redeemed a people for your own possession so that we would be zealous for good deeds. And we're not going to accomplish those good deeds if we're not reading. We're not learning about you. We're not studying about you and meditating. And I pray that these young men and women would love the Bible as much as they claim they love Jesus. Because Jesus loved your word and Jesus commanded us to study it and to love it and to obey it. And I pray we do that very thing. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.